Hey everyone, welcome to Technicast. We're the in-house podcast from Technica Editorial Services. We're an editorial company based in Carrboro, North Carolina. So we do everything from soup to nuts, as they say, in the publishing world. So this means copy editing, peer review management, project management. We really do everything to make publishing happen. My name is Chloe Tuck. I'm one of your hosts. I've been at Technica about 6 years now, and I've done the full gamut. So I've worked in peer review. I now manage a books project. And yeah, I love it. So I'm going to stop talking and introduce my co-host because I'm not here alone. This is Drew.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Drew Martin. I'm a native of Central North Carolina. I've been an associate editor at Technica Editorial for around 3 years now. I typically assist in peer review, production editing, copy editing, and proofreading for Technica.
He does a lot. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today is navigating peer review, tips for first-time authors. So as you might have figured, the whole point of this podcast is for if you're a new author, you're submitting to a journal for the first time, or you're a potential client of ours and you want to gain insight into that service, we're going to walk you through it.
Yeah, it can definitely be a little intimidating if it's your first time submitting through an online submission platform. And we're hoping to just kind of clear the air and give you some guidelines to make it a more positive experience for you.
Okay, I'm going to dive in. Part one. Okay, preparing to submit your manuscript. So I'm going to say that now that you know Drew and I, remember that we are the gatekeepers. So essentially what that means is that we're there once you've submitted your manuscript. Don't worry, you haven't just submitted it to a black box somewhere. We are there, we're real people, and we're going to make sure that your manuscript doesn't fall through the cracks. We're going to follow up with our editors and make sure that they take a look at it. So please be advised, we are here to help you.
So probably the first thing you're going to want to do before you even submit is you're going to want to check online for any journal or author guidelines. Pretty much every publisher is going to have this information pretty readily available on their website. If you ever have any questions about where to find it, I would reach out to a contact at the journal and they'll point you in the right direction. Reviewing these guidelines to kind of prep your manuscript for the journal really helps things move along quickly. These are pretty much just basic formatting requirements, reference formatting, things of that nature.
And next, this probably goes without saying, you would think, but I'm going to say it anyway, making sure that your submission is complete. So this means making sure that all your author information is there, your affiliations, you know, corresponding author's email address, all that kind of stuff in the submission form. You would be surprised that this information is routinely missing. You know, we understand because you have a lot to do with doing the research and writing your manuscript. But just, you know, going back through and making sure that if you talk about a figure five, that there is a figure five is something that's worthwhile to do.
And your submission is ultimately going to be reviewed upon its scientific merit, but it helps the overall presentation of the paper if it's complete and neat and organized.
Yeah. And remember that, you know, we're not sticklers in terms of formatting requirements. So we're there just to make sure that the main ones are hit, and same with the main information being provided. So we don't want you to think that we're asking for something, you know, super unreasonable.
So just one other side tip before we get a little deeper into the process here. When you're preparing to submit your manuscript, if you're an ESL author or really any author for that matter, it might be worthwhile to consider having an English language editing service review your manuscript. This will just make everyone have an easier time reading it and will speed the process up.
That's a great point, because the editor may have such a hard time, you know, they're going to want to send it back to you for further revision before they even evaluate the paper. So just something to keep in mind. There's a lot of good services out there. Please remember that, you know, patience is key in this process. And people like Drew and I, we're here, we're working behind the scenes, and we're going to make sure that those reviewers and editors stay on track. You know, keep in mind they're doing their own research and all of that, but we're there to make sure that those papers get pushed along.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty common for delays to occur. We try to keep the process moving along as quickly as possible. So if you ever have any questions about at what stage your manuscript is at, never hesitate to reach out to the editorial assistant.
And I like to think that, you know, we're experts with our editors, so we know how to reach out to our editors and basically follow up with them in the way that they want to be followed up with. You know, if it's someone who wants to talk on the phone or wants an email, we're there to figure out what kind of communication works best for them so that we keep all these manuscripts moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. And you may even want to check the specific submission platform you're using, because some of them have features built into their author center, so you can actually check the status of the paper yourself. And again, it never hurts to reach out to someone, but some platforms do have that functionality.
Okay, so the next stage, you've submitted. Good job.
It has begun.
Exactly. Remember, it's just the beginning. Okay, so your paper's been reviewed. It's getting sent back to you for revisions. Fear not. It's not a negative thing. Remember that the whole point is to polish and improve the manuscript. So it's being sent back for reviewer comments, editor comments, as well as comments from our editorial office, just making sure that you're up to date on all of the main formatting points.
Yeah, and just moving along with what's going to happen at this stage. So once you've submitted your revised paper after revision, your manuscript may or may not be sent back out for re-review. And this could involve either the previous reviewers who looked at the previous version, or it could also involve new reviewers. And that's going to be up to the editor to ultimately decide. Usually you could say that this will be a shorter review period, but just like anything, delays can occur.
One big thing to keep in mind is when you do submit your revision is that robust responses to reviewers are celebrated. So your reviewers spent a long time on getting those comments to you. Please go back through and read them. Even if you don't agree with them, make sure that you have thorough responses to perhaps why you don't agree with them, or you know, why you didn't follow their suggestion. That's just going to make it move quickly, and that's really going to start and, I'll say, cultivate the scientific conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of in tandem with that requirement, most journals are also going to ask you to provide a highlighted or marked up copy of your revision. And this will just kind of aid in the whole re-review process, just so that the editors and reviewers can really see what changes you actually made to address any concerns. Most journals are pretty lax about how you actually mark these changes. You can use highlighting or a different color of text, or like Microsoft Word's track changes, just as long as it's clear what's actually changed in the revision.
And I mentioned this a second ago, but it begs repeating. So remember that in your decision letter, look for that section where it says like comments from the editorial office. So that's going to be someone like Drew or I going through your manuscript and just pulling out those main formatting points that you didn't do that are specific and required by that journal. I promise you, we're not just making you jump through hoops. Those are things that we actually need done and formatted correctly in your paper before your paper goes on to production, if, say, hopefully it gets accepted. So those are things that we really need done. I promise you, we're not just making you do them for fun.
And one other aspect of the peer review submission process that usually occurs at the revision stage, although, again, it depends on the publisher, is we might use a similarity overlap checking software.
So what that looks for is just instances of overlap with previously published papers. So keep in mind, it could be your own paper. Okay, so let's say you're submitting for the second time. It's very easy if, say, you had a great section, you know, on your materials and methods that you want to pull over into this paper. It's certainly tempting to do that. But that's a case of self-plagiarism, and the editor or the journal may ask you to revise that and just change up that wording, make sure it's original. It could definitely happen with someone else's paper. You know, please be advised that you may get an email, and it's going to take a potential case of plagiarism seriously. But keep in mind, we're opening the conversation with you. So if something comes up and we do suspect plagiarism or potential plagiarism, we're going to bring it up with you. We're going to ask for an explanation. And just keep in mind, it's not the end of the process, but it's the beginning of a discussion just to make sure that everything is ethically all right.
Yeah, and sometimes it's as simple as just a little bit of wording overlap in a methodology section, and just a little bit of rewriting might fix the problem. Or an editor might ask you to kind of differentiate the results from any past studies you've done, which ultimately just kind of boosts the overall value of your paper.
And I'll say that, you know, journals are aware of preprints and archives and stuff like that. So, you know, we're going to navigate that with you. Don't worry. You know, we're not going to ask for anything ridiculous.
And the last point we would make for this stage in the process is just to please pay close attention to the revision decision letter. There's a lot of details in there, and sometimes they can get lost in the fog, but a careful reading of it goes a long way. And just make sure you're addressing all editor, editorial office, and reviewer comments.
We know it's a really long letter because we help send them out. But I think it should be pretty clear what the main comments are that you need to address. But remember, if you have questions, we're here.
Okay, so let's say we're moving on to the final stage of this process and your manuscript is almost ready to be accepted.
Very exciting.
It is exciting.
Okay, so you have submitted your revision. It's gone through. Your editor's like, hey, let's accept this. Almost. You're almost there. So you may have just a few final formatting issues. You know, let's say we're missing some vital information, you know, some supporting information available statement. Someone like Drew or I, so the editorial assistant, is going to reach out and is going to request that information from you. And keep in mind, once again, we're not taking you for a runaround. That's information that we know from working in publishing that we need resolved, or, you know, we need to get from you before we move your manuscript on to production.
Yeah, these are often requirements that we've specifically been given from a production team, and it just helps them get their jobs done quicker.
Exactly. And if you need an extension, you know, I'll just go on record and say it depends on the journal, but we can usually accommodate it. So keep in mind, there's someone on the other end and they can respond to your email.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing we really want to stress a lot. I think this is one of the best aspects of Technica Editorial, is we kind of put a face to a faceless entity sometime. It can maybe seem a little intimidating if you're on a online submission platform and you don't really know who to turn to for help. We're always here via phone and email to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, I like that point. Just remembering that we have faces is good. But yeah, seriously, and you know, we're a piece of the puzzle. It's certainly a large puzzle, you know, like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. That's what publishing is, because there's so many moving parts. And we're here to know all of those parts, know the ins and outs, so we can help you get your paper published as fast as possible. We're here and we're on your side.
Yeah, and just as a closing point, we have a few social media platforms that you can definitely feel free to reach out to us with any questions you may have about anything Chloe and I talked about on this podcast or previous episodes or anything about the services we offer. We have a Facebook account, which can be reached by searching Technica Editorial Services. We also have a Twitter account. Our handle is @TechnicaEd, and we also have a LinkedIn account, which you can find just by searching our name. And feel free to let us know if you have any questions or any feedback.
And I definitely recommend following us on Twitter, because we do post when we go to publishing conferences. So, and we try to keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the industry. So we're here to help you and get the conversation going.
We hope you feel a little more comfortable out submitting for the first time. And thanks for listening.
Thanks. You've been listening to Technicast.